Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Everybody, welcome to the Bag Room. I'm Ryan Balaji. It's great to have you here with us today. We are joined by Dan Feeney, who is the Director of Biomechanics Research and the Performance Fit Lab for BOA. And we've had him on in the past in different versions of GNN content. So it's great to have you on again, Dan. Thanks for being with us. First, can you kind of give us a little bit of an update on some of the things that have evolved in the Performance Fit Lab, in particular at BOA? Because the last time we talked, that was a really impressive tour and impressive really facility to understand what you guys are working on as a form of field research.
Thanks for having me, Ryan. Yeah, it's great to chat again. The Performance Fit Lab is about 5 years old now. And so with that, we've come a really far way. When we chatted last, one of the big things that we were interested in understanding was how different geometries of our panels that could be closed by BOA could basically make a shoe fit better. And so we were very interested in different panelizations. And so if you look at some of the products like the ZG21, the Hyperflex from FootJoy, you saw some different shapes of panels. From then, what we've really focused on has been understanding how different types of materials then interact with those different panels, and then even to interact with the different types of maybe players or motion somebody is looking for a shoe for. You know, for example, if you're really dealing with a power player that wants a ton of lockdown, that should be a different fit than maybe somebody that's more of a casual player that wants to be walking the course. They still want to be able to have lockdown when they want it, but they don't necessarily need that entirely aggressive lockdown, maybe for somebody that's driving 300 yards.
So in terms of the material that you've kind of figured out in what kind of makes and creates the best fit to interact with the BOA system, were you surprised by some of the results you've seen in the research and what kind of the outcomes there that could be meaningful for manufacturers of this equipment, of these shoes?
Absolutely. So as an ingredient brand, a lot of times we're not going to dictate the exact material somebody uses, at least at this point. We are, however, understanding what different types of materials and different material properties lead to better fit, right? So for example, within the lab, maybe we'll have somebody walking on uneven surfaces and we want to look at heel hold and ankle stability. Or maybe we'll have them doing a chipping shot on an uneven surface versus a drive. What we found across a number of different segments is there are certain areas where fit is really important. And so probably not too surprisingly, but the instep hold is really, really critical. And there's some level of forefoot fit that you want too. But actually, if you have too aggressive of a panel or too stiff of a material on the midfoot, basically the area between the instep and the forefoot, that can almost lead to claustrophobia and you don't get the foot moving as it's meant to move. And so you can actually have reductions in performance. One of the other really interesting things that we found is that depending on the type of person's foot, maybe they're going to be needing a different type of material that sort of matches the stiffness of their foot. And that's why inherently you see people choosing different products based on what feels good to them. So really when we come down to working with one of our brand partners, we will go to them and say, these are the types of characteristics of the materials that we know work well for this top strap or this bottom strap, for example. And then iterate with their design team to figure out within their materials library, which ones could we really bring to life.
Is some of that dictated by the shape of the last that they use in building this footwear? So that, you know, someone might be more, a manufacturer might be more well-suited to someone who has maybe a steeper kind of build from the toe area to their ankle versus maybe a flatter look. Does that influence what kind of recommendations and that you guys make from BOA?
Absolutely. Yeah. And one of the really interesting things within our lab is, of course, we do a lot of golf research, but we do research across a number of different segments. And so the trail running market is pretty interesting because we have a number of European brands and we have a number of US brands. And the fit profile of those lasts are very different. Typically in the US, you're dealing with a much wider toe box that sort of tapers back towards the heel, whereas European brand, you tend to have a narrow heel and a narrow forefoot. So as a result, we find what are some different ways that you can accommodate those two different last types, because they have a consumer that wants that. But how can you then use the right type of material so that it provides sort of the lockdown where you want it, And then in that instep or that midfoot area, making sure you don't ever get too claustrophobic.
Are there any brands that make significant changes in the last design to accommodate BOA versus maybe a lace version of their shoe?
We do see a number of brands that will make different last shapes. And I would say the bigger difference for us is typical shoes, as you might know, for a very long time, most shoes have a U throat, right? So if you look at the manufacturer of the shoe, there's a big U cut down the middle. That's to accommodate laces. And what we found is there's probably better ways to make a shoe if you don't just have to accommodate a lace. So instead of maybe just last shape changing, what we're working with brands to do is how can we think of other construction methods? So whether it's a burrito wrap, whether it's sort of more like a sock type construction, these things allow our panels to get close to your foot. And it also overcomes some of the barriers that are just sort of inherent limitations in cutting a shoe down the middle and making U in it.
Have more brands been willing to at least embrace or have conversations with BOA, maybe in the golf space that didn't before in the last couple of years, having seen what you guys have done with Adidas and FootJoy in particular?
Yes, definitely. And I think one of the keys with us is we want to work really deeply with the brands that want to collaborate at this level, right? So our collaborations with Adidas and with FootJoy take a lot of time. And so we're very intimately related with their product design development team, right? We know that that creates products in the end market that consumers love and they have a good experience with. We don't ever really just want to go chase the mass market and say, well, here we're just going to copy paste this idea and then ultimately maybe have a product that people don't like. So we are always working with brands, but it's this delicate balance of wanting to make sure that we can really be collaborative partners and we can give all of the work that we're doing in the lab, all of the work that our teams are doing from a design development side, just to make sure that the brand can take all of their knowledge on footwear and we can collaborate and make a really good product.
What, in terms of the collaborative research that you do with these brands, how much of that becomes knowledge sharing that kind of goes more broadly, or how much of it is proprietary that's just kind of a handshake agreement between you and that brand?
Yeah, most of the work we do in the lab, we do actually is BOA-driven research. So we have a research program over the next 2, 5, 10 years that we want to understand, like I was talking about, different geometries, different materials, and even we want to have a point of view on other parts of the shoe. So whether it's carbon fiber inserts, whether it's different foams, things like that, we want to come to the table already having studied that in some way. And the benefit to that is that research then we can disseminate to all of our brand partners and say, these are what we've learned. We also have another part of our research program where when we're developing a really critical model, you know, I think like the ZG23 is a good one. We can work with Adidas to make sure that that shoe gets tested in the lab against maybe the previous version of that shoe or even multiple iterations of the same shoe. So we can have true golfers come in, we test it, we look at performance variables, but we also look at qualitative feedback and we look at pressure across the entire foot. And so we can get that feedback to the brand. That, of course, is going to be a more of a proprietary handshake relationship. But that is probably a slightly smaller portion than our bigger, we'll just say like innovative research program that we've got a pretty long scope that we just want to understand because we think it makes us better partners.
And does that help from a perspective of a brand that might be new to BOA saying that we don't really know the integration, but obviously you guys have tons of data that can help inform these decisions for us as we get started with it?
Exactly. And so, you know, getting a new brand up to speed is challenging on a variety of levels. I would say my level is almost the easiest because we've now done so much research. We are testing about 750 tests in the lab each year. So we're in there twice a day, every day, pretty darn often. So we have a lot of data. And so from my side, we can work with the brand and say, we know that these angles of the laces, of the panels work well or don't work well. We have an entire second part of our group that works with factory integration, right? And so it's one thing to make one version of a shoe that fits really well. It's an entire separate thing to go through the commercialization process and manufacture something at scale. And BOA also handles that. So those are two paths. And maybe it's because I'm in the research side, but I think my side's a little bit easier.
I think this was maybe the last time that we talked, but I can't remember, but there's been more usage of different types of material that run through the BOA system, knit material versus kind of coated metal material. Has there been any development on that kind of changes or skews one way to the other in how people choose to implement what actually runs through the BOA system, the fitting system?
Yeah, so the laces, is that what you're primarily talking about? Yep.
Yeah.
So we have a variety of different lace types, really for different applications. I think when you look at some of the other sports outside of golf, for example, getting in the trail, we knew that we couldn't use more of our stainless steel coated lace. It just, for most consumers, perception wise, it wasn't going to make sense. Performance wise, as far as fit, I don't think it would make a huge difference there. We are continuously evolving, though, and one of our big areas, along with many, is understanding how we can be more renewably sourced and make sure that none of the products that are going into our product are harming the earth. So that's really our big evolution probably over the next 5 to 10 years, is understanding how we can use renewably sourced materials, how we can create new products that are not harming the earth in any way.
What does that research look like in terms of kind of tensile material? I mean, how are you trying to evaluate what, from a renewably sourced perspective, could work? How does that lay out in the performance lab?
So we have a, just like our performance fit lab, we have an engineering durability and testing lab. And so they're working really closely with our material science and sort of this innovation team, where we want to understand, we have certain product attributes that we really stand behind. Right, like BOA has a lifetime guarantee. So any shoe, if anything breaks, we'll always replace it. And we want to stand by that. Because of that, we have certain benchmark tests, and you hit on one exactly, right? Like, we have a certain max amount of tension that should be able to go into a lace, and that should have a safety factor well above anything a user is going to do. So that's going to be one of the tests. You know, say we have a renewably sourced material that's going to go into a lace or into a guide or even just a dial. We need to understand how strong is that material going to be? And is it going to last over the course of different environments? So whether you're golfing, maybe in the Midwest, and it's going to be very wet all the time. Maybe somebody is out in a desert like Moab, and you're going to have these arid conditions. So those are all the tests that we're actually doing, and we're running them on a daily basis also in our other testing engineering lab.
Can you give us an example of something you're working on specific to golf, or that you have on the docket that maybe you're particularly excited about, or what makes you particularly excited about what you're doing in the lab right now?
Yeah, I alluded to this a little bit earlier, but we actually just published a study in trail running. And I keep harping to this because it was a big finding for us, but we actually took people out onto the trails and we had them run, and we did a bunch of biomechanics research. So we looked at heel hold, we looked at ankle stability, we looked at efficiency, and we found some really nice benefits from our rep. We have a project that we're planning this summer where we're going to take a lot of those learnings that we found on the trail and then apply them into golf, for example. So obviously people that are walking 18 holes, the fit of the footwear, your heel hold, your ankle stability is really important walking. But of course, if you are maybe not hitting a ball off a perfectly manicured spot, that also is something where we think that probably the fit of the footwear really comes into play. And that's been the central reinforcing thesis that we keep learning time and time again, is the more extreme or the more aggressive a condition, the more fit really matters. And so our next step in golf is just understanding how we can take that and then apply it to different configurations and working with our brand partners as they're developing products that maybe hit a certain niche of consumer.
Last question to kind of wrap it all up and put your research in kind of totality. What are the biggest parallels you see between golf and other activities, whether that's, like you said, trail running, trail walking, hiking, skiing? I mean, I don't know where the biggest parallels are. I mean, you kind of mentioned the common thread of the more extreme condition, the more fit matters. But are there other parallels that you found in your research between golf and other sports?
Absolutely. The ones you talked about are the some of the first ones that come to mind. I think another big one is workwear. So we have a very big workwear market, especially in Europe and Northern Europe. People are wearing these shoes for 8, 12, 14 hours a day, right? And so the ability to get a micro-adjustable fit that fits exactly how you want it as your foot changes shape over the course of the day is something that we're really interested in. And I think it absolutely applies to golf. In addition, Alpine was one of the biggest things that kind of came through our building over the past 5 years. And so there's certainly a lot of learnings that we're taking from that, both on the biomechanics side, as well as on the product development side. We had to create an entirely new product to make Alpine work. And as a result, we took a ton of learnings from that. And like I said, whether it's sustainability or whether it's just understanding different geometries within our dial that could actually make it more effective, these are a bunch of things that we're now trickling into our other segments.
Dan, thanks for taking some time to talk with us about kind of all things that you're working on. I mean, there's a lot of excitement in that research area, I feel like, especially from you guys. So congrats on the published study first. And then thanks for, again, for spending some time to kind of bring it to golf for all of us.
Thanks for having me, Ryan.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Ever notice your dog slowing down and having health issues and wonder, what can I do to make them better? Well, my friend, add Rough Greens to your dog's food for 90 days and I guarantee you'll see changes that will amaze you. Greetings, naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black, inventor of Rough Greens here, and I invite you to give your pup the Rough Greens 90-Day Challenge. In the first 30 days, you'll see shinier coats and increased energy. By day 60, your dog will have a stronger immune system, less shedding, improved joint function, all due to the live nutrients that you've added to their diet. And at 90 days, better digestion, reduced inflammation, improved heart health, and you may even have reduced their cancer risk. Fetch your dog a free Jumpstart trial bag today. Go to tryroughgreens.com. Use promo code TRYRUFF. That's TRYRUFF. Go to tryroughgreens.com. Use promo code TRYRUFF. You discover the shipping. You don't have to change your dog's food to improve your dog's health. Just add a scoop of Rough Greens. Discover the life-changing benefits of Meow Greens for your cat. Ever see your cat slowing down or having health issues and wonder, what can I do to make them better? Well, my friend, add Meow Greens to your cat's food for 90 days, and I guarantee you'll see changes that will amaze you. Greetings, I'm naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black, inventor of Meow Greens, and I invite you to take the Meow Greens 90-Day Challenge. In the first 30 days, you'll see shinier coats and increased energy. By day 60, your cat will have a stronger immune system, less shedding, improved joint function, all due to the live nutrients that you've added to their diet. And at 90 days, they're going to have better digestion, reduced inflammation, improved heart health, and you may even have reduced their cancer risk. Fetch a free Jumpstart trial bag for your cat today. Go to trymeowgreens.com. Use promo code TRYMEOW. That's try M-E-O-W. You discover the shipping. You don't have to change your cat's food to improve your cat's health. Just add a packet of Meow Greens.